Welcome to the Home Building Hero, where we help you become the hero of your new home by providing you all the information that you need. No matter if you're an industry pro, you're building, or you're buying, we got you covered here at the Home Building Hero. We're coming to you live today from the LP Studios here in Wisconsin. I'm your host, David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes. Thank you for tuning in today. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Home Building Hero. Boy, I'm excited today because we have a special guest in studio with us. He is the building science manager for LP Building Solutions, our program sponsor, our studio sponsor, LP Building Solutions. Welcome to the Home Building Hero, Neil Friedberg.
Hey, David. Thank you for having me.
So Neil has an amazing background in building science, and of course, LP has been a big supporter of the Home Building Hero. So first, Neil, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. I'll start young. So I come from like a construction family. My older brother had a construction company, and I would work for him some weekends, some summers, you know, mostly summers, and, you know, odds and ends jobs from sweeping screws, you know, on a 5-story warehouse on the roof, to you know, installing insulation, or, you know, running a crew, you name it. I've kind of done it all. So that led me to becoming an engineer initially an architect. I wanted to become an architect. I was like, oh, you know, if I've seen those plans and they're not 100%, I could probably do what that person does. And then I went down the path and I realized that architecture wasn't for me, engineering was, and I got my degree in architectural engineering. So I have a bachelor's degree of architectural engineering from A&M Kingsville. And before I graduated in 2010, Owens Corning picked me up, and I worked for Owens Corning, the insulation manufacturer, roofing manufacturer, for almost 11 years. And LP basically recruited me, and this is kind of where I am now. So that's kind of the background of me.
All right. Well, that is a perfect background for what you're doing now. So not everyone's familiar with LP. Can you explain a little bit what kind of products you make for home building?
Yeah. So our main source of manufacturing is OSB, so oriented strand board. We have structural solution products that are semi-unique. We have commodity products that you kind of easily go pick up at like a lumber store. They're sheets, 4x8 sheets. And then we also make our siding products. So, you know, we make flooring, we make panels, we make roofing materials, and we make siding materials. So it just depends on what you need.
All right. So you guys have just a massive footprint. How much product do you guys make in a year?
Yeah. So I don't know what like our whole capacity is, but it's in the billions. Like, I, you know, that's definitely not something I'm 100% confident of. I'll be honest with you. I typically am more in like the, my main job is to make sure that the products that we're making isn't going to cause issues when you put them in a system. Like when you build your wall, we sell you one component, but that component no longer matters when you're putting them together.
Okay, that makes total sense. Now I'd like to know, what are the biggest product developments that you guys do to ensure your products last longer for these homes?
Yeah, that's a great question, right? So we're trying to implement solutions to building, right? A lot of our products aren't a single panel anymore. They're integrated in a system. So reducing the amount of labor or time to install a product or to do a couple of things is kind of what we're focusing on, right? So, you know, we have a radiant barrier solution for, you know, the hot climates. We have continuous insulation for all climates. We have a WRB panel with the tape or liquid applied. We have weather-resistant barrier or weather-resistive system, right? So, I mean, it depends on what the classification is in general. But what we end up having is, you know, a product that can do more than one thing. Like our, you know, we have flooring, OSB flooring. We have a couple grades of them, commodity. But then we also have the siding. So we're trying to make products that, one, solve a problem, and two, reduce cost to the homeowner or the home builder.
Quick, can you explain to the audience what WRB stands for?
Yeah, so you know, our most common type of flooring is what's called TN350. It is a much more builder-friendly product, but we also have a much more robust product. It has a higher context of waxes. It has it's a denser product, has a no sand warranty on it, right? And that's called Legacy, and it just increases the quality. And we design these panels specifically to be exposed for a limited amount of time to weather, right? So like, let's say you're building a building and then it rains and monsoon rains the next day and you didn't put a roof on, your walls are just sticks, but you put your flooring down, right? We design it to understand that elements happen, things happen, delays happen. So we've installed rain channels, these, you know, or we have different systems or different surface treatments to help prevent water absorption into that wood and ruining it.
Great explanation. Now, can you share the different grades of flooring and why you have so many different kinds?
Yeah, it's one of the best features of that, especially Legacy. It does that on purpose. It's a great product. Yeah. And so it's the same general like product as an OSB, but they're different recipes. There's different strength requirements, right? So nobody typically walks on a roof. So we, you know, that can technically be a little bit thinner. You know, we have thicker panels for flooring, especially if you're like doing a tile over OSB. You really want a much thicker panel that bows less versus a thinner panel, right? So like, it just depends on what the need is or what the engineer is calling out for structure. But yeah, like the panel that on a roof should never really be used on the floor.
Okay, let's shift gears a little bit and let's start talking a little bit about your siding. Can you go over a little bit of the process of how the product is made and created?
Yeah, I can give you a general, a general overview of it. So what we do is we take wood, and we basically throw it through a circulating chipper. And the nice thing about like LP is that we use about 99% of the wood. We try to take all the bark off. We use that bark to warm up the dryers to help dry out that wood. So like we're using a lot of that lumber that comes in, and you know we follow a SFI, so sustainable forest initiative. I'm probably butchering the name, so I apologize, but it's an SFI product where we watch the wood, make sure it's the right time to cut it and bring it in. We chip it, and then we run it through different coaters, and we add our waxes, our adhesives, or resins. And then we kind of lay them in a specific pattern to make sure that we have axial strength and long axis strength. And we design it very carefully to the best of our ability. And then, you know, we put it in a big press that pushed, you know, heat and pressure on it to really cure and make that panel. And then what ends up happening is, we take it and cut it. And for like a siding product, we tend to put right before the press, we put a paper overlay and that press has like a specific texture. And it kind of, that's why you see some smooth, some textured, some shake looking material, because we designed it that way. Yeah, 100%. And then the panel goes through the primer coating system. We seal the edges to help prevent water from causing edge swell. And then, you know, that's how we can make a 16 foot piece of a siding not break, right? We designed it that way.
So Neil, just what you explained right there is exactly what our installers really love about LP siding. I mean, you've got the longer pieces, you have really nice clean ends where the cement board siding, a lot of times the ends aren't finished well and you have to cut it off. You don't have to flip the board around. You can use either side of the siding when you're installing it, where a lot of those other products have pre-made grooves that you have to use. So it seems like LP just makes it easy for everyone. What are some other differences between LP, wood siding, and cement board siding?
Yeah, you know, it's a combination of how much that person can carry, right? So I can easily carry a 16-foot piece and get it installed on a wall relatively easy versus the equivalent length in that I can't pick it up. If I pick it up in the middle, it'll snap, right? So like you just have to take different precautions when looking at how you're going to install something, right? So we also have different nailing requirements. They need a much thinner nail than we do because, you know, it would basically break the substrate, the fiber cement when nailing through it. We also tend to hold less water, right? A fiber cement is a cementitious product. and it holds moisture, right? So especially in a cold climate, that lap could hold moisture, it could freeze. And what happens when cementitious material freezes? It spalls, right? So like, you know, we typically don't find that with OSB. So there's a lot of advantages and durability that really can be honed in on with an OSB versus like a fiber cement product.
Great answer there. So my next question is, do LP products expand and contract as much as cement board siding?
No, I mean, everything's going to do what it needs to do, right? Products are very dynamic. You know, we love to think of products as static, and we do our best to keep them as static as possible, right? But things expand and contract naturally. So, you know, the expansion contraction rate is going to be different for a cementitious material versus a fibrous material like OSB. You know, as long as you're following their manufacturing instruction and our manufacturing installation instruction for those products, you tend to be fine. And that's the issue. Sometimes people just don't read our installation manual. You know what I mean? And then they install it.
Okay, so there's been a lot of changes in how siding is installed and best practices. How do you guys keep the trades and everybody that uses your product up to speed on the latest installation instructions?
Yeah, a majority of the reason why we keep these live documents is because as we develop products or as we add things to it, we may add a specific detail around a corner with a new type of, you know, edge, or we have a new liquid applied for our structural solution products, or the NovaCore product with the foam against the studs and the OSB outboard and may need a house wrap. So, you know, if someone would be like, hey, you know, this house wrap or this methodology, it'd be easy to add something rather than having to delete and recreate.
Okay, so I know you're not specifically the siding guy there, but you obviously gave some really good answers on that. Can you talk a little bit more specifically about what you do at LP?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So I will let you know that siding is actually not a department I'm in. I'm actually specifically in OSB. So siding does a lot of like on-hand long wall installations, and they do an amazing job. They hone in their details. My group is much more destructive. We take panels, we throw them off two-story buildings, you know, safe areas, protected, to see what's going to happen. Oh, yeah, no, I get to watch it happen. I get to record it. And the reason why is because we understand that when you're up on a two-story building, it's going to be easier to save your life to drop the panel than to hold in and follow it down. So we need to understand how much of that panel is broken, how much of it is usable, right? So we look at installation methods. When we start looking at how our products are unique products, like a flame block product that has a pyrite coating on there, what happens if you pick up the panel and corner drag it? Does it affect the pyrite coating, right? So we have to pretend that we are installers to make sure that when it's actually being used, it can withstand both the elements that it's going to be in and the installation method.
Wow, that's really cool that you guys do that. I really appreciate the fact that you guys spend so much time thinking about the practical applications and the work in the field to make it easier on our trades to put up the product.
Yeah, so there's no standard, right? There, like, if this is coming from personal experience, if we were to 100% base it off of a lab test or how we would install it perfectly, that's great. But that's not how buildings work. That's not how people install. So I just want to make sure that when we're developing that product, that one, it deals what it needs to do, right? It deals with moisture the right way. It deals, you know, with thermal bridging the right way. It deals with fire the right way. But it also performs the right way.
So Neil, can you share a little bit about how you guys foster sustainability and how you guys work to actively protect the environment while you're harvesting forest products?
Yeah, 100%. So, you know, I can't speak for all OSB companies, but for us, we work with landowners and we harvest the trees and then we replant using foresters. And, you know, those people, we have people out there making sure that we're identifying the right tree and cutting it down at the right time. On average, we use about 10-year-old trees, especially for southern yellow pine, right? That's kind of where they peak at absorption of carbon in the air. So it really benefits even the environment by cutting it at that stage and replanting. That new growth is going to absorb more carbon than an older tree. So we really hone in on making sure that we're trying to be as conscious to the environment because we understand that as a business, a sustainable practice and a sustainable methods are going to keep us in business.
Okay, so we all know that LP is always innovating. Are there any new products that you guys can tease out for us?
So tons. Some I can't speak of, but I will let you know that we are really focused in on the how the products perform, and on top of that, how they're installed, right? So we've been working on specific accessories to improve our methods or our practices or our how to install our products, because what we're learning in this method of growth and in the changing codes and in the changing infrastructure and labor demand is that if we make it easier for the builder, if we make it easier for the installer, we tend to be the one they choose. We tend to be the one they prefer because we have them in mind as we're making our products, as we're designing methodologies for installation or creating accessories for those things.
Okay, Neil, come on now. I know you've got something you're hiding from me that you really want to share. Let's hear it.
So sure. I can mention that in Q1 we'll be soon launching some sort of air sealing gasket potential. That has a lot of potential. I'm working on a lot of the accessories that are going to help with liquid applied or applying tape easier for like our WeatherLogic system. I'm working on nailing methodologies for installers to help prevent wear on their shoulder, right? So, do they have to do every 3 inches or can they do every 6 or what shear that capacity maintains. So, all of that ends up benefiting the homeowner, right? So if that person installing it does a better job, that homeowner is going to benefit from a product designed and installed the correct way, right? So it's a domino effect that we really want to focus on and reduce risk for both us and then the homeowner.
So one of the really huge challenges these days in construction is actually getting people to work on construction sites and getting people to take jobs in the trades. So can you talk a little bit about how you guys are getting people on the job sites faster by creating better and more efficient products?
Yeah, that, trust me, I used to install a lot of products. I get it. I get when you have to hold a sheet against the wall and you're waiting for someone to go get a nail gun or you're the one holding something in a spot. I get it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so... Yeah. Yeah. And safety is one of our messages, right? So some of the stuff that we'll be coming out with is purposely designed when someone's on a ladder to keep 3 points of contact, when we're looking at something, we want to make sure that it's the safer option and not the option that just works or the common option that's out there. Because sometimes what's out there isn't the right solution, but it's the only solution.
Okay. So one thing that you guys do that's really cool is that you guys actually pre-mark out your siding with different measurements on it, which I think is genius to help people cut the product to the right size or install it. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So, for the homeowners who don't know, depending on what you're building, there's something, there's stud spacing standards, like 16 inch on center. And what that means is that the center of that stud to the other stud is 16 inches. There's 19.2 and then there's 24 inches, right? So depending on what that builder is doing or what the installer sees or uses, we have lines for all those areas. That way it's just easier. They can hit a corner and then line up the rest and just start nailing, right? So instead of having to sit there and making sure everything's lined up, all the lines exist on the panel. And as far as they've been doing that, I truly believe longer than I've been born. So... it's just one of those things that it was a good purpose and they haven't stopped. What I like though is that we're starting to implement QR codes on our products, and what that does it reduces the barrier of understanding what a product is or does. When you're on a home, you can scan it with your phone. It pulls up the website. It gives you videos, installation instructions. If you have questions, right? That's what I really like. That's the new advancements that we're coming out with to help both homeowners, installers, and then potentially even like city inspectors or third-party inspectors, when they see something they may not be familiar with, it's just easy, right? So instead of having to deal with a delay of, I don't know this, you didn't pass inspection, and then the whole, you know, the builder has to figure out why and then figure out who to tell and how to get them and who to talk to, right? So we're trying to make that even easier for everybody.
Wow, those QR codes are absolutely amazing. I'm so glad that you guys thought of that. What a cool invention. Great job on that. So can we shift gears a little bit? Let's talk a little bit about the housing market. What are you hearing about the market these days, and what do you think is going to happen in the coming year?
You know, this is technically my potentially second recession that I'm going to be living through. And so I was hired in a recession where we were seeing a lot more, a lot less residential, a lot more commercial. But the issue is the demand for homes hasn't ceased. And while I understand that homes are expensive, materials are expensive, labor is expensive, interest rates are high, people still need homes. So people are buying. And I think, honestly, they're buying. And it may slow down a little bit, but it shouldn't stop, not from what I'm seeing. And while I'm not like a home market, an analyst, right? I'm just a building scientist who sees the neighborhood I live in where they're building townhomes in the back, and the neighboring ones that they're building homes, right? They haven't stopped. Even when things were getting bad, I haven't seen anybody stop.
Well, I agree with your analysis. I mean, the data shows we're just not having enough homes on the market these days. And so a lot of people are shifting to new construction. There's some data out recently that said almost a third of the homes on the market are actually new construction homes. So if we want to continue to supply housing for the industry, we're going to have to rely on new construction in order to fill the gaps in the market.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. And that's true. That's, you know, that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that where people are buying the homes that are torn, you know, tear downs, they fix them, or, you know, a lot of the flippers, right? They'll buy a home and they fix all the, you know, all that they can and what they do. And then they, you know, they sell it back. But yeah, there's definitely not enough homes for what we're doing today. And that's kind of why I know that we're not ever going to be out of homes. Like, there's always going to be a demand. But what I like is the fact that we're really, really focusing on how that home performs now. We're focusing on the energy consumption, because that also affects the bottom dollar, right? I always tell people, when you're looking at the home, especially now, new homes are typically better. They're more energy efficient, right? So that extra, you know, $200-$300 that you're saving on an electricity bill or a heating bill can be towards your mortgage, right? So like, that's one of those things that, you know, when we're looking at the products and we're looking at ideas or even recommending things out to people, it's like, energy efficiency is kind of the route we have to go. And there's going to be a lot of retrofit on existing homes, but you may never get to the areas that need actually help versus like a new home. You know what I mean? Unless you're like fully bringing them down to the stud.
So shifting gears, we know new construction is super energy efficient. Obviously, for a lot of consumers out there, ROI is huge. Obviously, other things like water infiltration, making sure that we don't have products that we have to replace all the time. Builders don't want to go back on warranty and do repairs. That's all huge. What can you add to that? What are you guys doing to make sure that these products hit the marks for not only the consumers, but the builders as well?
Yeah. So, you know, so I'm kind of a unique beast, right? You know, at LP, I manage a lab where we test products, but I also help develop new products. But I also work with builders or typically bigger builders to make sure that their home isn't going to have some sort of moisture issue, or we can recommend or work with them to help kind of flush out their ideas around energy, air sealing. So I'm in this real unique area where, like, minus actually making the panel or selling it, I work with everybody, right? So that's kind of where my world is. So I don't always get to remember what the warranty is, but I can tell you how that product works, right? Like, I can tell you what it's going to do in a specific orientation, or what combination of wall performance you're going to have better in this climate versus that climate. Like, that's kind of where I live. But
okay, fantastic. So if someone wants to get more information on LP Building Solutions, where do they go?
Yeah, lpcorp.com. They can also go to our social media. We have a great a social media team that tries to respond appropriately and in a timely manner. We work with them to make sure that the information they're giving is correct. So, yeah, I mean, lpcorp.com, follow that. And if you want to get a hold of me, I'm a terrible social media person, but I have BS with Neil. That's Building Science with Neil.
Well, this was great stuff. Once again, huge thank you to you, Neil Friedberg from LP Building Solutions, for joining the Home Building Hero today.
Yeah, thank you so much, David.
Once again, thank you for tuning in to the Home Building Hero, broadcasting live from the Bellman Home Studio. If you haven't already, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content. Until next time, I'm David Bellman, signing off.